Hey everybody, welcome to Penguin Radio. I'm DJ Youngzy, and this is It's Gonna Get Weird. We're gonna talk about some conspiracy theories today, and they may make you scared or excited. We don't know yet. We'll see when we get there. Alright, our first theory we'll be talking about is the Mandela Effect. Okay, so the theory is one of my favorites because of all the examples of it popping up all the time. This is when a great deal of people all remember something that isn't real, or we all remember a certain thing or event or something about the past that didn't happen. The first widely popular example is the Berenstain Bears. I hope you all know or remember the Berenstain Bears was a well-known children's book series that would teach children, like, rules on or, like, manners. And I remember growing up as a kid and having almost all the Berenstain Bears books, so this theory really spoke to me. Anyways, many people will remember the spelling and pronunciation for the Berenstain Bears being the Berenstain Bears, spelled B-E-R-E-N-S-T-E-I-N, all right? But that's not right. Apparently, it is Berenstain, and we've all been saying it wrong all these years. So how did that happen? How come we've all been saying it wrong all this time? If you were to, like, look at your old Berenstain Bears books that you have in your attic in a little old box, I don't know, it would say Berenstain, spelled B-E-R-E-S-T-A-I-N. So it is either spelled with an E or an A. Many people remember it being spelled with an E. I remember it being Berenstain, spelled with an E, and I ask all my friends, and they remember it being spelled with an E. So why is it different now? Even as I typed the word out on the outline of the theories I was going to talk about today, at radio.dominican.edu, might I add, my computer spell-checked Berenstain to Berenstain. Why is that? I don't know. How interesting. Anyways, the example of the theories has been backed up by someone who found a newspaper article from 2003 with the headline, "The Berenstain Bears and the Sunshine Kids." It was an article about how the Bears read to some kids about other exciting things to do than watching TV or something along those lines. But all people were seeing is how they spelled the name right in 2003, and now it's mysteriously changed. So why does this weird spelling change matter? Why does this book matter? Why are we all just noticing that Berenstain is now Berenstain? People are believing that something bigger is going on, and there is more to this than just simply us forgetting the pronunciation of the Berenstain Bears, or Berenstain Bears, apparently. And many people believe this is an example of time travel or parallel universes affecting what we know. Yes, people think the Berenstain Bears just proved time travel. And I'll get to that in a second. But now I'm just going to say, you can believe whatever you want, but I'm about to give you some more examples on this theory that can get pretty weird. Okay. So another small example is Captain Crunch cereal, right? We all love it. It's one of my favorite cereals. I've been eating it since I can remember as a child. It's also a great source of sugar. And many people remember it being spelled all the way out, C-A-P-T-A-I-N, Crunch. The full word, right? Well, wrong. It's been spelled Cap'n, C-A-P-apostrophe-N. Now, I personally, like, remember it being spelled all the way out as Captain Crunch. And I asked a few of my friends, and they agree with me as well. It is spelled Captain Crunch. How come now it's Cap'n Crunch, spelled CAP apostrophe N. I can't even imagine, like, the box. I Googled it, and all the boxes said Cap'n Crunch. And when I was going to the grocery store, I see Cap'n Crunch. Why is it Cap'n Crunch? I always remember Captain Crunch, which just was strange, and I don't know why that's a thing now. And another very popular one that people do remember is Jif peanut butter. Many people remember it being Jiffy peanut butter, but Jiffy peanut butter was never a thing. You can't find it anywhere. You can Google it, Yahoo, Bing it, I don't know what you do. Most people Google it, and you can't find Jiffy peanut butter anywhere. So where did Jiffy come from? I personally don't know, and you can't find any jars of Jiffy peanut butter. It doesn't exist. It's only Jif, J-I-F, just Jif, which is very unsettling because I strongly thought it was Jiffy. And now there's many, 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 many examples for misspelling words, and everyone's like, oh, I thought it was spelled this way, which, sure, people forget how to spell things. Like, I can't spell most of the time, but these were just... this is just what we remember, and it's weird that other people remember it as well as I do. So it's just very uncanny, might I say. Another example, which I like, is Chick-fil-A. I love their chicken nuggets, and I love their milkshakes. They're probably the freshest milkshakes I've had. And I remember Chick-fil-A being spelled without a K. So, Chic-fil-A. And I thought that was a very cool and dynamic way of having the sign say Chick-fil-A without a C, so Chick-fil-A. I can remember just sitting in my car one time back in the day and looking at how they spelled it, and I was like, alright, that's very interesting. But why is it now all of a sudden I see a K in the spelling of Chick-fil-A and everyone else is talking about it on Twitter and on Instagram? Why is there a K in Chick-fil-A? How come we are now seeing this? So the dynamic of Chick-fil-A, the way it's spelled, looked a lot better before, is what I'm trying to get at. And now it's spelled with a K, and everyone's noticing these, and everyone's realizing things are changing, and maybe our realities are changing. But like I said, you can believe what you want, but I don't know, it seems pretty weird to me. Might I remind you are listening to It's Gonna Get Weird with DJ Young Z on Penguin Radio. So, it is going to get weird. However, yes. There are so many more examples for the Mandela Effect, another main one being why this theory got its name. Nelson Mandela was a well-known politician and philanthropist. He was also the president of South Africa in the late 90s. And many people believe that Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 80s, but when he died in 2013, everyone started questioning why they thought he died in prison. There was even a published book that came out that states that he died in prison, which was more proof, give or take, that the theory could possibly exist. And Nelson Mandela did die December 5th in 2013, and there's textbooks that say, "Oh, he died in prison. So why did we think he died in prison when he died in 2013, very recently?" Not to mention that a great deal of people remember his funeral and people remembering everyone mourning his loss and like lighting candles and flowers. So how come that never happened? And what are we even remembering if this isn't true? Nelson Mandela was released from prison February 2nd, 1990. And I don't know if people remembered his give or take death at that time, but now people are realizing things. And this was the first time a multitude of people realized something did not happen when they were sure it did, which resulted in how the theory got its name. From that point on, whenever people began realizing things, changing from what they thought, it went from, like, when people started realizing things that weren't what they thought they were, it started being titled as, ooh, the Mandela effect. It's the Mandela effect, because we used to remember Nelson Mandela died in prison. So the different theories are all adding up. So now there is very many examples, I guess you can say, for the Mandela effect, except they're not examples because we don't know if this is true. Now, many people have different theories on how this is happening, so I'm going to break down each theory right now. One that many conspiracy theorists say is that our universe went into a parallel universe somewhere in the past 20 years and small things were changed, but we still remember the things from our other universe. So in our other universe, it was Captain Crunch, but now in this new universe that we somehow collided with, it's Cap'n Crunch. So parallel universes are also because we're not sure if they exist or not. Wink, wink. They're other universes that are coexisting with our universe, if you want to believe that. I'm not telling you to believe anything. You can believe whatever you want. However, another theory is that time travel has been invented sometime, and someone went back in time and has been changing these little things we all know and remember. It's kind of like what happened to, like, Marty McFly and Back to the Future, where he almost made himself not exist because he almost made his parents not meet and fall in love. And people believe this is what is happening right now. Someone went back in time and changed this theory, changed everything we know and love, like Jiffy peanut butter. So what else have these time travelers changed for us? What else has these parallel universes changed for us? I'll fill you in on more when we get back after this break on Penguin Radio.
We rolling up pressure, you know that we flexing. We bought all the bottles, we came with the models. Girl, it's a confession, I'm not like your exes. I came in from Texas, and now that we texting, you can fly in whenever, now you undressing. Pennies on the dresser, your hair getting messed up. The feeling we catching, my love is a blessing. Make love in the Lexus, make love in the Lexus. I know you remember.
Tell me, is that deja vu? Deja vu. Cause baby, it ain't nothing, no, no.
Tell me, is that deja vu? Cause you want me and I want you. Tell me, is that deja vu? Cause baby, this ain't nothing, no.
Oh, you acting reckless. I told you that I need affection, so let me point you in the right direction. It's so important that you get the message. Yeah. Yeah, I gotta say something to you, yo, yo. I'm on a roll out in that no, no, no.
this deja vu.
Tell me it's that deja vu. Cause you want me and I want you. Tell me it's that deja vu. Cause baby it ain't nothing new.
She's at the door, Dior falls on the floor. I swear we've been here before.
Everybody, welcome back to It's Gonna Get Weird with DJ Young Z on radio.dominican.edu. Thanks for listening, and I hope you had a nice break. All right, so for the people that are just tuning in, we have been talking about the Mandela Effect, which is a conspiracy theory that involves many people believing one thing and then finding out later that what they believed is completely wrong. Okay. So some great examples of the theory come from well-known movies such as Star Wars and Snow White. I love these examples because I could have sworn these movies were what they were. And when I found out I was wrong, I didn't believe it, so I had to go watch all the movies all over again. And I was very, very sad to see that I was wrong, which made me very uncomfortable. So let's begin with Star Wars, a very well-known movie. And if you don't know Star Wars or the most iconic scene in the movie when Darth Vader tells Luke Skywalker that he is, in fact, his father, I don't think I can trust you if you don't remember that scene or what I'm talking about at all, because I don't even know very much about Star Wars. But if you ask almost anyone, they would say the famous line that Darth Vader said is, "Luke, I am your father." Wrong. He actually says, "No, I am your father," to Luke Skywalker in the movie. And I didn't believe this at all at first, so I got a clip for you, and I'm going to play the scene where Darth Vader tells Luke Skywalker he is his father.
He told me you killed him.
No, I am the father.
Say what?
Now, what did he just say? He said, no, I am your father, which does not help. I could have sworn it was the other way around. And moving on to Star Wars and Luke being his father. There's so much Star Wars memorabilia now that is wrong, because I've seen so many things that say, "Luke, I am your father," plastered all over it, and now it's all just a lie. So I don't know what to believe anymore. And the same thing happened in Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. The Evil Queen's iconic line is, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest one of them all?" But if you were to go back into your old collection of VHS tapes, I know no one has those anymore, but someone might, and watch Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, you will see the Evil Queen talking to her mirror. And I'm sorry to say, but she does not say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest one of them all?" She says something very, very different. I'm about to play that for you right now.
"Let me see thy face."
"What wouldst thou know, my queen?"
"Magic mirror on the wall, who is the fairest one of all?"
I'm sorry, what? She said magic mirror on the wall. Now, excuse me, but the magic mirror, I thought it was just a mirror on the wall. Where'd the magic come from? Like, I know it was a magic mirror. You didn't need to tell me, Miss Snow White Queen, Evil Queen, excuse me. But what was that? It's like, it's now a magic mirror on the wall. I definitely do not remember that. And this made me very uncomfortable, just like the Mandela effect does, and a lot of the conspiracy theories do, that we will talk about in this show on radio.dominican.edu. Might add, this show is called It's Gonna Get Weird for a Reason. All right, so there are many, many, many more examples on the Mandela effect, and I'll give you some more to close this theory off. The most recent one that came out was Febreze, okay? It's the air freshener. You know, you leave some old food in your fridge and you Febreze it. I'm not telling you to Febreze your fridge. I feel like that's bad because chemicals. But, you know, Febreze. So I was on Instagram maybe a week or two ago, and everyone was freaking out because they found a new example, a new proof of the Mandela effect. I got very excited because this is something I get excited about. And apparently, Febreze was never spelled with two E's, and I Febreze, like a breeze. And I've been spelling it with 2 years, and it's always been spelled with one. It's no longer Febreze, and it's just not the same anymore. I don't like that. But that's cool. I was wrong this whole time. And there's more words along with Febreze. Another word is the word definitely. And definitely is the most commonly misspelled word in the English language, and people think it is because in another universe, it was spelled the other way. And that is why everyone does misspell it. It is definitely, by the way, just so you know. So this shows that maybe in hopefully in another world, it was definitely, and that can help me feel better about my spelling skills. Maybe that's why I spell all the words wrong, because in another universe, all these words are right that I spell wrong. And the last one is about Miss Barbara Streisand. Now, I know Barbara Streisand. What's wrong with her now for the Mandela effect? It's spelled wrong, apparently. It's Barbara. I've been calling her Barbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A. But apparently there's only one bar, and it's just Barbara. Spelled with two bars makes it seems more correct. But her name is actually just Barbara. Like, I've always known who Barbara Streisand is, and I thought I was right about her name. So when I asked my dad, I texted him a picture of Barbara Streisand, and I said, "Who is this?" And he said, "Barbara Streisand." And this just proves that. Okay, if my dad didn't know who Barbara Streisand is, how to spell her name, how come no one else does? And when I asked my parents, and they were both wrong, I knew this was crazy. Anyways, I could go on and on about Barbara and how I don't trust her because now she's Barbara. And there's more proof like, give or take on the Mandela Effect, but we will run out of time if I keep talking about all this proof for the Mandela Effect. Maybe over time there will be more examples of the Mandela Effect that will arise. I can bet you that there will be more that will arise because people love finding those. Maybe we'll have at the end of every show for the next 9 shows to come. If we find a new one, I will let you know on the Mandela Effect because that one's always growing. Okay, so our next theory is a very, very touchy subject. So please hear me out before we get started or you decide not to listen. It's about 9/11. Was it an inside job? Did the U.S. government have some involvement in 9/11, in the 9/11 attack? Now, this next conspiracy theory is a very touchy subject, so for many people, but it also is one of the most well-known conspiracy theories out there. So first of all, I'd like to say that 9/11 was a terrible event, and I am not here to offend any of the families or anyone who lost loved ones in the attack. I just really enjoy conspiracy theories and would like to share this widely popular one about the government's involvement in the attack. Now, 9/11 was on September 11th, 2001. There were 4 attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. This was a very tragic event and can be very touchy to some people. So, conspiracy theorists believe the government staged the whole attack because they wanted to go to war with Afghanistan and needed a reason to do so. So they staged the whole thing and they made it this huge thing just so they can go to war with Afghanistan. First off, the first reasoning behind how did this happen, like, why did this happen, and to prove that this happened because, give or take, America staged it, is why did the military not respond to the 4 hijacked planes? When contact is lost with any airplane, it is protocol for fighter jets to fly in and investigate. They usually come in with about 20 minutes, and this is very common procedure that happens. But on 9/11, contact was lost for over 2 hours without receiving any interception. Why is that? Okay, so the terrorist group Al-Qaeda hijacked 4 airplanes, and nobody investigated the hijackings until 2 hours later. I find that very... Okay, so I find a lot of things unsettling, but this one keeps me up at night because it's just so, I just don't understand why this would happen. Why would the government let this happen? So each plane, 2 of them went to the World Trade Center, 1 of them the Pentagon, and another one crashed somewhere in Philadelphia in their field. And more reasoning behind this theory being true is that President Bush's stories did not add up. So President Bush claimed he saw the first plane hit the North Tower on TV before he was going to read to some kids. But that does not make sense because the footage of the first crash never aired on TV until the day after the attack. Even after being notified for the second crash, Bush was not moved from the classroom to a secure location for several minutes. Why would they leave the president to just sit around in a classroom publicly, might I add, while there are terrorist attacks happening in that moment in time? I know if I were in charge of the president, I would take him somewhere safe the second I heard about any kind of attack or the second I heard about something negative going on in America. So what was going on? What was the plan? What was going on? How come they, Secret Service or whoever's in charge of the president at that time, did not move him? And the next piece of evidence was very, there was like I watched an entire documentary on this a couple weeks ago, and it was about the commission report, and there's a lot of families that were not having any of the commission report, that they, once the families found out about this and weren't getting any answers and had to just wait and wait for any answers to be made. They started questioning why this is taking so long, because it did take over 440 days just to start the commission report. And for such for events such as Pearl Harbor and the JFK shooting, it took about a week to start the commission report. How come this one took 440 days to start? I also found that the 9/11 commission report was only given $50 million for funding, and this also left the families and the loved ones and the friends of the people that died in 9/11. This made them very mad because it caused an uproar with everyone because the questioning the attack and questioning the attack because the report on Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky affair received over $60 million, and this one only received $50 million. Why did that get more? Why did an affair get more funding than the largest loss of life on American soil since the Civil War? Maybe it's because the government knew this attack was already going on and was already going to happen and didn't need to waste any more money on something they already planned out. Another piece of information that added to the theory was the head engineer for the Twin Towers. He came out and said that the towers were built to be able to withstand a 747 crash. I'm not sure if they were just planning ahead when they built the building because they knew planes were going to be flying around that area, but somehow they knew this information. I don't know how they knew that the building could take that kind of impact, but they did. Very interesting. And many engineers have come out and said that if a plane were to hit the building like that, that kind of destruction wouldn't happen. They say maybe just the top of the building where the crash happened would be affected, but not the entire building would collapse. This building was made like out of, this was a steel frame building, and it's going to take a lot to break that frame down. Not just a plane hitting the top of the building. And many engineers can prove this point. In addition to that, the steel frame buildings similar to the Twin Towers have never completely collapsed from structural damage or fires, might add. There have been cases around the world of buildings like them that have burned for more than 24 hours, but still never collapsed. So just the top half were affected. These buildings were burning for 24 hours and they still never collapsed. And they're basically the same as the World Trade Center. How come they weren't affected? Something also that was not that great that happened was that they did not leave the debris to be examined. Like, I know they wanted to make sure everything was gone. People wanted it over with. But this contradicts many of the protocols that they have when something like this happens. The steel beams from the debris could have been fully examined to see if they were weakened from the fire, but they were sent off overseas immediately to be melted down for anyone before anyone could have a look at them. Like, that goes against almost all crime scene investigation protocols. I don't know why they would just clean it up before and touching it, messing with it before they could have anybody take a look at it. Why would they touch and move all the evidence from one of the biggest crime scenes ever, arguably ever, before having anyone examine it? It doesn't add up why they would do that to one of the biggest crime scenes. And conspiracy theorists believe that the towers were brought down by controlled demolition because of the way the towers did fall. And they did not fall from a plane hitting the building. That's the main theory, is that they did not fall from the plane. It was a controlled demolition. The way the building collapsed was not the way it would if a plane were to hit it, but the buildings fell straight down, which is how they make buildings fall in controlled demolitions so that they don't hurt any of the other buildings around them. And hundreds of firefighters that were there said they seemed to have heard bombs going off in the buildings similar to the kinds used. The sounds of the bombs going off sound a lot similar to the kinds used for controlled demolitions. They when they have organized demolitions, they put bombs in each floor, right? And they make them go off in a pattern, so the pattern goes from top to bottom of the buildings. So people are saying the pattern they heard of explosions sounded very similar to what a controlled demolition sounds like. Now, I don't know if that answers any questions for you, but many people stated that day. And another big, I don't know, maybe it was just people saying things, maybe people were under a lot of stress, so they were hearing things that they shouldn't have heard. But people are saying they heard explosions even before the initial plane hit the actual building. So that's very mysterious, if that is true. But apparently there isn't enough mysterious occurrences, because another one has to do with a news anchor that reported the World Trade Center Building 7 collapsing 12 minutes before it actually did. And if you were to look at the news report, you could even see this building still standing straight up right behind her, and she just is talking about it collapsing. And how did she tell the future? Like, okay, this lady could have been very confused and thought the building did collapse and basically told the future, but maybe she was in on the secret, or maybe the people giving her reports knew about it and messed up and aired the report a little too early, 12 minutes early, I'd add. More on the 9/11 attacks was the Pentagon. People believe it was a missile that hit the Pentagon. It wasn't the plane. And theorists believe it was a missile attack because the damage done to the Pentagon was too small. If a commercial airline were to crash into the building, it would have been a way bigger hole in the building. There are many skeptics that do not believe it was a commercial aircraft to hit the building. And another reason being, the only one video of the actual crash into the Pentagon was released when it was known that there's about 82 cameras that could have gotten the footage. There's about 82 cameras that could have gotten this footage, but only one video was released showing the actual plane crash. Another thing is the debris, again, from the crash as well, did not make any sense, because this was a commercial airline. All they could see was a few pieces of airplane and not much else. There were no bodies, there was no luggage, nothing. One Pentagon worker came out saying whatever hit the building she was in did not look like a plane at all. A lot of people are pointing at a missile that was initiated by the government. But what about all the other witnesses that did see the crash? They are all saying there is no question, or they saw the plane hit the end. The most believed theory, however, is that it was a missile and Flight 77 was taken elsewhere to be taken care of. Now, this part also keeps me up at night, because it is believed that Flight 77 and the plane that also crashed in Philadelphia did not crash the way we are told it was. They are saying those initial crashes were staged, and they put little airplane pieces around, but not enough, and they took those planes and took the people out of them and either executed them or took them to somewhere else where they could never be heard of again. And I know this is a very touchy subject, and I would just like to say again that I'm just very interested in these conspiracy theories, and all I want to do is just talk about them and make it well known to what is going on with them. So with the crash in Philadelphia, a lot of people were saying that they were getting phone calls from their loved ones that were on the actual plane, which at the altitude the plane was at would not make a lot of sense, because you can't really get phone calls from that kind of altitude. It wouldn't make sense, especially in that point in time, in 2001. Phones weren't that great back then, and no one could get a phone call. So these people could have been on the ground calling their loved ones, saying, I love you, goodbye. But the weirdest part of that was some people got weird phone calls, and some people believe that those people, their loved ones on the phone, were not really them, and that it was someone else calling from the phones. One lady said that her son called, but he said his full name to her. He said, this is blank blank, I'm calling to say I love you and I will see you later. That does not make sense, and no one would call their mother and say their full name. So this is what added up to this theory being a hoax, and the government setting up this entire thing, and the attack being not what we believe it is. Now, after the attack happened, there were 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists that were said to be responsible. Okay, 4 passports were found in total after the attack, and 2 were found in the crash site. 1 was found in the luggage that did not make it onto the plane, and 1 was handed to an FBI agent shortly after the first plane hit the tower. This last one is the main one skeptics point to, because it was completely undamaged. People say it was hard to believe that a paper passport survived the attack when 2 steel frame buildings could not. But the theory is that these passports were planted, and these 19 terrorists were set up and hired by the government. So overall, why did the government set up and hire a bunch of Al-Qaeda members, or just random people, wherever they found them? Why did they send a missile to hit the Pentagon and tell us it was another airplane? Why didn't they take President Bush to a secure location? Why didn't they fly in and investigate these hijacked planes until 2 hours later? I don't know. Mostly, the only thing people are believing is that the government was in charge of this, and this was not what they're telling us it was. Now, I know this was a very sad story to end on, so I might close with a kind of fun yet very weird story. Now, this one is about the lovely Britney Spears. I personally love Britney Spears. She is one of my favorite artists out there. She is a legend, in my opinion. And I want to leave this on a lighthearted note, so this one goes out to Britney. Now, can she be a clone? Is what people are believing. People think that Britney Spears isn't who she is. She was cloned, or she is trying to come out and tell everyone that she isn't, that something bad happened. Now, the facts going back to it happened in 2002. Where Britney was one of the most famous pop stars in the world. But when it all came crumbling down after her and Justin Timberlake broke up and so on, she then disappeared for a little while, and the paparazzi would catch her doing strange things. And she was just overall acting very differently. And then she came out with this weird song that was about a girl being cloned. The story was called Mona Lisa, and nobody ever heard it before because her label did not want to allow her to release it. So what happened was, in 2004, she started writing an album called Original Doll. She's never written her own music before, so all these songs she was secretly writing were really coming from her heart. These were songs where she sang about how she was lying to people. The songs were about how she was feeling like a a fake pop star. And there was one song called Mona Lisa that was about a girl that was cloned. Now, I know this is very far-fetched. This is very weird. This is why this show is called It's Gonna Get Weird with DJ Young Z on radio.dominican.edu. But these words in this song goes, she's the original, she's unforgettable, she wants you to know she's being cloned. Just imagine Britney Spears singing that. I know I don't sound anything like her. But no wonder the record label did not want these people to hear it, because Britney Spears was saying weird things in this album. And I frankly wish we could hear it, because I bet it was great. And Britney didn't care that they didn't want anyone to hear it, so she took the matters into her own hands, and in 2004 walked down the street to the radio station with her dog and demanded they play her song. The DJ on the show that day said, quote, they told me Britney Spears was on the phone and she wanted us to play her new song. Usually you don't believe that kind of stuff. But an hour later, the singer was outside the radio station with her bodyguard and her chihuahua and a CD in her hand. The station ended up playing her song, and her record label went berserk. After that, legally, she was not allowed to put any of that music from that album out anywhere. Kind of makes you wonder what was on that album that the label did not want us to hear. Now, there is more on these Britney theories that I will talk about in a minute. I'm going to take a quick break on radio.dominican.edu, and I'll be right back. Everybody, welcome back to radio.dominican.edu with DJ Young Z. We're talking about conspiracy theories involving Britney Spears, and I am closing on this one where Britney Spears was coming out about how she was feeling like a fake pop star and how she's a fraud, and this is because of her voice. Now, her voice has changed a lot over the years, and they kind of don't want us to know about it. And as a kid, she had a strong, powerful voice where she could belt, and it would sound amazing. And you could find videos on YouTube of her as a kid singing, and it was very, very powerful. She has a very powerful voice, even as, like, I don't, maybe 5 years old. And when we have seen it in some of her past performances when she was younger, and her voice used to be very different. But then she started working with a producer named Max Martin, and Martin was very well known for creating many, many stars. Well, recently he spoke about how he had this idea to give Britney a kind of baby voice, kind of with like kind of a little bit of nasally like effects to it. So he taught her to sing with this new distinct voice that we all know as Britney Spears. And she turned into this well-known Britney with this special voice, and everybody loved it, and everybody took a hold of it, and she just became huge. I mean, I love the baby Britney voice, and I think it's great, but, you know. However, this voice was kind of hard to, like, keep, and after singing with that kind of a baby voice can hurt your throat and singing ability after doing it for quite a while. Even just doing it for about 2 minutes can actually make your throat start to hurt. And as the theory goes, this voice made her singing ability so bad that she can't even do it anymore. And over time, it's ruined her voice and she can't sing anymore because she's been doing it for so many years. This is why she's always been lip-syncing whenever she's performing live. It's always lip-syncing. That's why there's so much auto-tune in her new albums, because she messed up her voice for doing this fake voice, give or take. And the old manager said that he made her do this voice because it would make her big, but now it really sucks because she can't sing anymore. But she still is a great star, and people can say, leave Britney alone. And I'm just saying, Britney is still a great pop star, and she's still performing in Vegas and everywhere else. She was at the Video Music Awards, and she did great, but it was lip syncing, and people believe it is because of this fake voice that her producer gave her. Well, there you guys go. That was all the theories I have for today. And I hope they didn't creep you out too much. I hope they were all sort of enjoyable. And this is Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. And I'll be back next Wednesday with more. Thank you. The sky could